Told you once, now tell you twice. The way I feel, here's my advice. I told you once, now the way I feel, here's my advice. Now tell you twice. The way I feel, here's my advice. I told you once, now tell you twice.
You are now listening to God's gift through His Word with Miss T. Drake. It's God's gift through His Word. With Tanika Drake. Tanika, tell them about God, girl.
Good day, T. Drake. This is your friend, Orson Welles, speaking to you from the Mercury Theater with the Mercury Theater Players. We've all just done our very first radio broadcast of War of the Worlds, and we thought we'd take some time out to let you know how much we listen to your podcast day in and day out here in the Mercury Theater. Lots of people think that what you're doing is aerodynamic, dynamic, and otherwise incredible. Please continue doing what you normally do, and I can assure you, you will have an audience who listens attentively.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies. This life within me cries. I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquered death to bring me victory. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let life within me cry. I know my Redeemer.
You're listening to God's gift through His Word, and here is your host, T. Drake. And be sure to tune in on your favorite podcast platform daily for more inspiration.
Hey, Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to God's Gift Through His Word. It is your girl, T. Drake. Now, I know it's been a minute, and I have taken some time away from doing podcasting on wisdom and just podcasting and social media in general. And not I was doing a fast or anything of that nature. I just needed to put a pause on it and figure out what I was doing, because sometimes you can get lost in doing a thing and then it have no meaning anymore. So for me, I have been on a different type of fast, and it's more of a sexual kind of fast and abstaining. So we're going to be talking about that, because it's going to be a journey for me, and it's been a struggle and a stronghold in my life. And as you guys know, I've tried to be very transparent about different things in my life, because this is kind of what this podcast deals with and speaks about. It's not going to be vulgar. I'm not going to be vulgar in this. I will just express that my sexual journey with the Lord has been up and down, and mostly down, because I was just using certain things as a escape mechanism, a vice. It was just a way of escape. So it was a type of escapism. It was everything that I was putting in place of the Lord. So in a very sad and strange and weird way, it has become an idol for me. And I realize that, and I know I need to pump the brakes on that, because the Lord has already specifically said, you shall have no other gods before me. It doesn't matter. No graven images, no putting anything, whether it be a human, whether it be a sexual thing, whether it be a drug or whatever, you shall have no other gods before me. And God does not approve of idolatry in any form or fashion. However it comes, God disapproves of it all. And it is a sin. And I saw that that's what was happening to me. Not only was that a part of it, but because I have been in a way wounded in many aspects in regards to sexuality for myself, I have already been through rape. I've already been through sexual assaults, and it has been a very hard road. And I kept putting myself in situations to feel like I was in control. I kept putting myself in situations to ease pain and not really deal with it. And I realized that some of the things that I would try to express to a therapist, it wasn't going to come all out, because I still, in my mind, couldn't really trust the therapist to a certain degree. And for those of you that know, I am a disabled veteran, and I have gone through sexual assault from being in the military. And it wasn't easy losing my military career to be ousted because someone decided that they would, you know, want to violate me and have their way. And after that, you know, have me committed to a psychiatric ward, and for the rest of my days I would be known as someone who had a mental illness, even though those people and that person were perpetrating sexual impropriety. So with that, I have not enjoyed remembering that. So when I go to the VA, it has been hard for me, a hard pill to swallow. Like, I can know I went into the military. I have documentation that I went in. You know, I took the oath to protect against foreign and domestic terrorism, all of those good things. And then not to be able to fulfill it, it felt almost like I was a failure. And at this age that I am right now, in my 40s, I would have been retired from the military 20 years already, maybe 20 years plus. However, I don't look on that as spilled milk. I do look at that as a time that kind of added to my already sexual issues. Because to be honest, I've had sexual challenges since I was young, since I was a little child. And it stemmed back way back when I was maybe around 6 years of age or so. Maybe coming into seven, I'm not really sure exactly, but it was between ages 6 and 7. I had seen my first little bit of porn at the time from my mother. And what ended up happening that time was I was outside. We were living in England at the time, abroad, right? So I'm talking about England, London, not New England here in the States, but London. And so we were stationed at the base out there, and my mother had put myself and my sister outside in the cold, and England gets very cold. She gave us our coats and our shoes and put us in the backyard, locked the door, and we were out there with a German Shepherd trying to clean up big masses of defecation from the dog. So anyway, my sister was 2 years younger than me, so I believe that would made her about maybe 4, and if, you know, I'm not really sure if that was her age, but we were young. We were very, very young. So I do remember it being cold. I do remember that dog just huge as all get out, try to ride it and everything, but there wasn't really much you could do outside. I mean, it wasn't really much, and nobody was out there with me. So anyway, that day that I was outside, the blind was left open, which is, you know, the long Venetian blinds, and a portion of it was open. So I was peeking through the window, and I saw, you know, some things on the TV. I'm like, what the? And I was just looking like, I wonder what that is. You know, I didn't know. And when my mother turned around, because she's sitting on the couch watching, she quickly turned around and, you know, closed the blinds, right? And from that point, I had been exposed to some entertainment of a triple X rating in my younger years as a child. And from that point, not only myself, but my sister, because she saw it too, she was exposed to it. My brother was exposed to it. My mother had a lot of pornographic videos, sexual rated videos, very many XX rated videos. And when we were younger, we watched them. We would watch them because at the time they were VHSs. My mother would hide them in her drawers, and at the time they came in those big boxes or whatever. So she had a lot of them, and my sisters and them would watch them. And sometimes there would be like on a movie, you'd watch maybe Hiawatha or something, and right after that there would be recorded, because back in the day you could record movies off the TV. After that you would see a recorded, you know, pornographic movie at the end of a cartoon. You sit there and watch it like, huh, what this is? And then you'd be looking for the next. You'd be looking for, well, what other ones does my mother have? So that opened the door. That opened the door for me to now have something to deal with. And it has been a journey for me to really get a hold of this. And that journey, because everything on those pornographic videos that I was watching at that age exposed me to a lot, which to my sadness and not happy about, led me to participate in sexual activities I had no business participating in. And some of that was even same-sex participation, which, you know, watching a porn, I thought, well, heck, I guess that's the way. Because I found when I started, you know, growing up as a teenager, I was trying to figure out, well, what if what I saw on the TV is what they do, then maybe that's what it is. I don't know. And my experiences evolved over time. And so my first time actually experiencing any kind of in-person sexual things was at age 17. And the gentleman was 23 at that time. That was statutory rape in Illinois. I didn't know that till later. That was like years later. But my family didn't really care. You know, they were not really big into caring about that. So as I grew and grew up, I would dabble in things that were wrong and all these different things. And pardon the French, but I would engage in just different activities that involved too much of what was in those movies to actually play out in real life, and I did. So I'm not going to be graphic here, but I will say if you've ever had, you know, experience to watch some of those things, and not everybody has, so I can't say everybody has, but if something has ever come up, even on the TV, where you see people engaging with multiple people, some of those things I would have engaged in. And then, you know, fast forward past my own trying to kind of discover what I was doing, I later on, of course, fast forward, got married. I got married, you know, at age 27. Age 26, I had rededicated my life to the Lord, and then I found this husband that I thought was right and going to help me escape everything from my family that I was not wanting to be around. So my escape was, again, trying to escape everything, trying to escape the abuse from the family I was raised in, to escape just all of the kind of indentured servitude that I was doing, trying to just escape all of that. And the ex-husband now that I have came in like, you know, this Prince Charming, and he turned out to be an Igor. He was evil. He was wicked and vile, and he really exploited some of the already sexual struggles I was going through. And so I remember there was one time, and you'll have to forgive me, but there was one time that he decided to use a Corona bottle, and Corona is a beer, for those of you that know that, and he poured it on me, and it wasn't on the right area. It was in the private area, and it burned something fierce. It was cold and burning. It was painful, and it seemed like everything that he was doing to me, because I had married him, was a free-for-all for him to do whatever. He actually ended up using that Corona bottle and tried to insert it. So to stop the rest of trying to be any more graphic than I've already presented, I just know with my ex-husband, I did so many foul things. And in the book called The Gift of Finding God's Love, Guilt and Shame Turned into My Shine, I expressed some of the things there, but my ex-husband had raped me, and in our marriage, I couldn't tell anybody about that. Who's going to stop him from doing that? Nobody. When you're married, those kind of rapes happen within domestic violence, right? There are spouses that are raped, and because the statement that my ex made to me is, you're my wife, you're going to give it to me. And so whether I wanted to or not, it didn't really matter. I was still seen as his property. And most of the time it didn't really matter. And for me, a lot of my domestic violence, talking back, sometimes I would, you know, feel I had some power to talk back, and that didn't always go over so well. So for a lot of my marriage, I was, when he would get upset and just hit the rooftop, just blasting angry, that's when I would be the most quiet. And that's when he would know and I would shut down. And I've never wanted to experience a type of man like that ever again. If a man raises his voice at me, I definitely won't be able to deal with that man, because it brings up feelings inside of me that are very strong, and it doesn't give me any kind of sense of security, and it starts to put some fear there. So if I get that kind of knot in the pit of my stomach from a man raising his voice, I don't do men that raise their voices at me. I can't. It doesn't work for me. I've had that done enough to, I won't allow it, and I'll have to go back to doing what I normally do, which is be quiet. So there's a lot of purging I'm going to be doing on here, and I'm just asking for the Lord to help me on this journey, because one of the things I kept doing is I realized I kept hitting a wound over and over again. I kept hitting a sexual wound, trying to figure out if I'm going to heal the pain, mend the pain, but instead I was beaten on the pain, and I kept opening those wounds over and over again and just kept hitting it, and it was not getting taken care of. So, you know, after all these different things I'd gone through, you would have thought that it would be easy for me to stop, except for different people act differently. And at a time period in my life, after going through those different rapes and sexual assaults, I was being promiscuous. And I say that because, you know, we have a stigma on all kinds of things, and we have a stigma on people that have gone through a sexual abuse, and people have gone through domestic violence and domestic abuse. And what that means is, for me, not every woman and not every man who's been sexually assaulted or raped will ever act the same. So for my particular journey, when it happened to me, I did become promiscuous. Reason being, I had been with a gentleman at the age of, I guess maybe 19, right? Just coming out of the military. The gentleman had given me HIV. So I was sexually vulnerable to him, and he sexually inserted, you know, HIV, which I'm HIV positive now from my sexuality being with him and exploring sexually with that man. I now have to pay the penalty that is due to me for me trusting someone else. And that is what I did not practice listening to the Lord. And the Lord had already stated premarital sex in the word is you're not to do, which is fornication, which I saw, and I'll probably get into that later as I get through this journey, because it's going to be a chronicle. It's going to be a journey chronicle. And it already said that fornication, having sex with anybody else, is premarital sex and it is a sin. Yet I did that with this gentleman, and come to find out, he was still married and he was also HIV positive. And that's where I got my HIV from. But there's no sign of that man anymore. And at that time, my friend had told me, don't go out with that person. That's a GI. Don't go out with that person. And later on in life, he told me that that particular unit was known for giving women HIV. And that was on Fort Carson. I didn't know that. I knew it later because I became, of course, the person infected with the illness that I have to deal with now. I struggled trying to find out how to deal with it. I wanted to hurt people sexually. I had been seeing sexual stuff since I was young, and now I had HIV. It was a gift that keeps on giving, and it's never going to go away. But thank goodness and thank the Lord, my children didn't have it. Even the ex-husband, who was wicked, I didn't pass it on to him. So that has stuck and stayed with me. And in a way, I'm glad, because I didn't want anybody to have to deal with the things that I have to deal with. And as a person who's HIV positive, you're on medication. You also have to get your blood drawn every 3 months to see where your viral load is, to see where your CD4 count is, to see if your immune levels are okay, to see if any of the medications messing with your cholesterol. For me, some of the medications gave me like a little hump on the back of my neck from the Kaletra that I used to take. I don't take that anymore, but it's been a sexual journey for me, and it's been hard, because I never knew how to stop. And to be honest, I've never stopped dealing with fornication, and I had never stopped dealing with pornography, and I had never stopped being sexually gratified either by telephone or video. And to be honest, I would find other people to use in order to gratify myself. So I was using people. And sometimes when I would do these things, and even up to recent, I had to just stop and say, I don't want to participate in doing that anymore, and make a definitive choice that I want to actually be remorseful for my actions and really come to the Lord in 100% honesty, with not just feeling sorry in the moment and then return to do the same exact thing. But I really need to understand, I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, not to just try to ask the Lord for forgiveness every 5 seconds or every little bit, because I keep doing the same thing over and over after I know the Lord told me last year, even in 2022, when I heard this statement from a friend, I don't really like you like that. He told me then, stop. The Lord told me, like, flat out, knock it off, like, leave it alone, leave him alone in that regard. You don't need to do that. And you know, I continued, and I kept hurting myself. At times, after I would do whatever I had done, I would be crying, and I would be so shameful, and then I'd do it again. And then I go through this, it was this same cyclical cycle, and it kept happening over and over again. Until now, May 29th, 2023, which I started my journey for real. And I said, no more. I'm not going to keep hurting myself, and I'm not going to do it anymore. So I'll see how this goes. And this will be my journey. I will probably not be doing this one on wisdom. This will be straight podcast. And if you are a listener, you're here with the journey. And I'm hoping that this particular podcast for you will help you if you're in the same kind of boat. And pornography has been a struggle for you. Maybe fornication, sleeping with other people, has been a hard thing for you as a believer, and you already know what the word says, but you're still not being obedient. I would ask you to join me on this sexual purge and purification journey. I would ask you to be obedient to the Lord, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and listen to what he's saying. Be obedient in this regard and stop. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do the sexual purge and purification journey now to be 100% clear. Purification doesn't mean I'm going to turn back into a virgin or I'm going to be so holy or that. No, no, no. What I mean by purification is I need to purify my mind and get some of these things out that have been clouding my communication with the Lord. And when you have something else in place of God, your sanctification process, as I've learned, will be hindered and hampered. You still have it, but you're not moving in the purestness of it that you could because there's something else there. So I've always been very transparent on my podcast, and I've always talked about things that sometimes in churches can't talk about. But pornography is real, right? There's a whole billion-dollar industry, and there's a lot of believers that are watching pornography. It is referred to as a secret sin because you can do it by yourself. You don't need anyone to participate with you, and you can get your little gadgets and, you know, do what you do, and nobody would be the wiser. However, your spirit, your soul, your mind, and the Lord God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, the triune God, knows what you're doing in the darkness. So I'm calling myself out of the darkness into the marvelous light. This journey has been nothing but hard for me. It hasn't been easy. And I doubt it will be easy because I've been struggling with this thing for 42 years. And to be honest, not all the way 42, because I'm going to subtract some stuff, but I've been dealing with this for a long time. For a very long time. So I could say maybe about 36 years, to be honest, I've been dealing with it. 36 years of my 42 years of life, I've been dealing with this issue. So if you are going to go on a journey with me, we're going to be using scripture. And we're going to be using a lot of scripture. So today's scripture, I'm only going to use a portion, but we're going to use all of Philippians. And we're going to be at Philippians 2. And I'm going to use a portion of it. Because one thing I found out, and I'm finding out on my journey, this is going to help me. There's a whole pride thing going on here. There's a whole pride thing. There's idolatry going on. And there's a little bit of covetousness because it's going towards of course, pornographic people and the things in the pornographic movies that I would want to happen to me or I desire. There's covetousness. That has got to get out. That's got to go. And so I'm calling out those things. Idolatry. Covetousness. Pride. So that is what we're dealing with. I need to break that pride down for thinking that it's okay. See, there are some sins that we deem are okay, and they're not okay. Just because you do one thing and nobody ever sees you doesn't mean the sin's okay, because nobody sees you in the cover of night, or you're doing like the secret sin of pornography or fornication and nobody sees you do the act or watch the movie or entertain the person and do what you do, and still you think, well, I'm still a believer. You're still a believer. However, you got to get rid of that, sister. You got to get rid of that, brother. You're going to have to work out your salvation for real. So now that we've been in this, I'm going to pray in this point because I just want to give a little backstory. So I'm going to put this on pause and then we'll come back and we'll get right into this. But I just wanted to give some history onto what this sexual purge and purification journey is all about. I'll return, we'll get into prayer, we'll have some scripture, and then we'll get on to the journey. I'll be right back.
Hello, Tanika. This is Pastor Jay with Walk in Truth. I just want you to be encouraged and be blessed. And I want to encourage you today, keep hitting them hard with the gospel and the truth. The church is not equipped for the stuff that you talk about, but we have to be. You have to wake us up and continue to do so. Your podcast is so awesome, and I'm encouraged every day to listen to it. I thank you for your content and your topics because they're timely, and the church and everybody who listens is getting a benefit from your commentary. So continue to do the work that God has given to you. I bless your ministry and I bless everything that your hands touch and everything that comes out of your mouth. I love it. Please, people, tune in and tune on to Tanika Drake, God's gift through his word. Peace.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I did not know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before your throne of grace, Lord, asking for your help. Lord, as I go and embark upon this journey, Lord, I pray that you would find what I'm doing, Lord God, acceptable in your sight. Lord, I pray that the meditations of my heart and everything that proceeds out of my mouth, Lord, would be acceptable. Lord, help me to walk in a humbleness, Lord God, and be obedient to, Lord, what you have called me to do. Lord, I have been struggling for a long time, Lord God, with this certain area in my life. And Lord, I pray that you would have full control, Lord God. Let my mouth and my mind, Lord God, be focused on you. And Lord, let me work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, let me not think of myself higher than I ought, but Lord, consider others more than myself. Lord, as I embark upon this journey, Lord, I pray that I would have the mind of Christ, Lord God, and continue to focus on, Lord, not being selfish, not being covetous, not having that pride, Lord, that is not of you. Lord, all the things that, Lord God, are in me that are not of you, Lord, I pray for you to purge it out, to, Lord, purify me, Lord God, and help me, Lord, to renew my mind, my heart, my spirit, Lord, and reconcile everything, Lord, back to you. Lord, I humbly ask for your help to walk this journey, Lord, that I would bring glory to your name. And Lord, I confess all of my sins to you, Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your Son. I thank you that he intercedes on my behalf. I thank you that he was propitiation. Lord, he was a substitutionary death. And Lord, I pray that the grace that you provide, which is unmerited favor, Lord God, would not be abused because, Lord, it was costly, pricely. Lord, and for those that do not understand that, Lord, help them to have a real sincerity, and understanding, Lord, that the grace that has been provided was not free, nor the gift of salvation was not free. Jesus paid the price. So, Lord, let us understand that, Lord God, and cherish what has been provided and not abuse the grace, not take advantage of the grace, but understand, Lord, that the mercy that you have provided for us also, Lord God, Lord, there's a grace in that because, Lord, you don't give us what we truly deserve. And, Lord, I thank you that this, Lord God, that I do, Lord, it pales in comparison to, Lord, how you cover me every day, how you protect me and my family in all aspects of my life, Lord God, and that you are a provider in every way possible, Lord God, not just the physical, but the spiritual and the mental. Lord, clean out my mind. Cleanse me, Lord, from all unrighteousness. Lord God, I thank you, and please do not draw yourself from me. Lord, let your presence linger, Lord God, over me, through me, Lord God, and help me to be a blessing to others. And Lord, I thank you for this journey. Help me to walk strong and tall, Lord God, for there is no condemnation for those who love Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just thank you right now for your word. Lord, help me to become more solid in it, to focus in it. And Lord, I thank you for this time to just share this journey that I'm on. In the name of your son, Jesus, I pray that it would bless others and help others, Lord God, to be stronger and walk according to your will, your way, Lord God, and be obedient. In the name of your son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. So with that, I just want to share a little bit of scripture. And it's going to be coming from Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And then we're going to stop. And so it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, let's say that again, this is verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Here we go. With fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Amen. So I stop there because, as you have already heard, the reason I'm doing this, there is scripture to back up everything. And scripture, I need to be obedient. We all need to, as believers, be obedient to the word. Now, are you going to do everything perfectly? No. However, there are some things that we can do that we can stop doing. And for me, it is the sexual purge and purification journey that I'm on. There are some things that we do have control over. Your personal body, you have control over. You may not have control over the enemy utilizing his demonic minions and whatnot, throwing things at you, blah, blah, blah. No, okay? Those fiery darts from other places of demonic realms and all that will come. Yes, they will. But as far as your body, you have control of that. You do have control on what you say. You do have control on what you do with your body, where you take your body, how you utilize your body, how you take care of your body. You have control of that. So for me, this journey is not just, oh, I have no control, it's just out of my control. No. This is in my control. And the Lord has always said, you know, you need to do this because you need to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice every day of the week. You might sacrifice something, but at the end of the day, if that sacrifice is actually turning into obedience to do something, obedience is better. And to be obedient, it's said if in the word, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How can I profess to love Jesus Christ if I'm being disobedient in the one place that he said, don't do it? And he said many things, but in this regard, the sexual part of me, don't do that. If you're not married to a man, don't entertain. If you're not married to a woman, don't entertain that. Don't mess with that. That is specifically saved for the sanctity and sacredness of marriage, a union between one man and one woman coming together, a covenant thing that the Lord brings together, not when we put ourselves together, because if we're not in covenant, a covenant marriage, then some of this stuff does not apply. If you just jumped in marriage with someone, you said, you know what, you and I need to get married because, you know, we're lusting after each other, it just sounds like a good idea. The Lord may have not sanctioned that marriage. So if it didn't work, you're like, oh no, the Lord brought this man to me and it didn't work. Well, first of all, I doubt that the Lord brought that person to you because you may have jumped into that by yourself. I know for my marriage specifically, I can be 100% sure the Lord didn't bring that man to me. The Lord did not bring that man to me. He found me and I was escaping a thing with my family and the rest has been told and here we are today, right? But the Lord never provided that man to me. So I don't blame God for my marriage ending. The Lord was probably trying to rip that thing apart and finally got me out of it. He got me out of it. And like, you were never supposed to marry that man. However, although that I did, my beautiful children have nothing to do with that. He may not supposed to be in my life, but those kids are supposed to be here. And unfortunately, the only way those kids could have come is being with that ex-husband. But my four beautiful kids, I don't regret them being here. I love them with everything I have, and I will take care of them to the best of my ability that the Lord has given me to do. That part I will do. I take care of my four kids, even though being a single mother is hard, and I've struggled many a time of being a single mother, okay? I've not enjoyed really, truly being a single mother because when I became a single mother, I knew what it was going to be because I watched my sister, who was younger than me, who had my nephew, just a son, and it was hard for her. So I was going to be a single mother with four kids, and two of them have special needs. Man, I didn't want that. And sadly, I was actually, even though I was going through the abuse, I was trying to keep the marriage together. I really was. I was like, no, I do not want to be alone trying to do this. That's at the time I really didn't trust the Lord, because I was like, Lord, how am I going to do this? 4 kids on my own. If something breaks, I don't have a man. If something, you know, falls apart, I don't have nobody to stand up for me. People are going to take advantage of me. All kinds of stuff was going through my head. Like, Lord, how can I do this? How can I walk alone with 4 little ones that are growing up? How will I be able to do it? And will they turn out to be bad and you know, the wrong way because they only had a single mother and not in a 2-parent household, which is healthy, and have them going? I was thinking about so many things. But this journey that I'm on now, I'm doing it to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I honor the Lord. I fear Him with a reverential fear. My Heavenly Father doesn't deserve my shallow, not correct sharing of I am asking for forgiveness, and He already told me to stop. It's almost like the Lord was already saying His character, I love you, and I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to show you the way, my daughter, and you keep going wrong. I already told you to stop because you've already been hurt in that way, and you need to be purged. You need to have a purification process, but you keep going back. I kept doing it to myself. The Lord told me to stop doing this stuff years ago, not just in 2022. He told me long ago, and I wouldn't listen. And every time I didn't listen, my heart would hurt. My mind would hurt. Tears would flow, because I knew at a point, even if both parties, myself and whomever I was entertaining at the time, even if we both agreed and were consensual in the matter, someone was going to be hurt. And it might have been me, or I might have ended up hurting the other party, which I ended up doing sometimes. I end up hurting people, and it wasn't intentional, but because I didn't want to be doing the same thing with them any longer, I didn't want to have a relationship with them. So I just ended up hurting them. And then others didn't want to have a relationship with me. And it was based on this intimate part that should not be shared except in marriage, where that person is only devoted to you. That person doesn't want anybody else. That person that the Lord provides to you only wants you. He or she doesn't want anybody else. They don't want to cheat on you. They want to figure out what it is to have a little strange over here. They don't want to figure out what it is to have a little strange over there. What it would be like to have a menage a trois. They don't want to figure out, hey, how it would be to have brother husbands or sister wives. They just want you. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe this has been a struggle for you as well. The church doesn't always talk about it in length like it can. It doesn't want to, and it's not really, to be honest. There's a portion of the scriptures that talk a lot about sexual immorality and to flee from it. But to really have a deep dive into the other parts of it, that's not for the church to do. There needs to be small groups or some kind of something to actually open the door to have a private place where some of these hurts and wounds can come out. Because I tell you one thing, when people I've seen over these years that I've been podcasting, when people have tended to share their sexual issues, they've been exploited and they've been hurt. Case in point, my whole family did that to me. My mother found out that I was sexually abused and sexually assaulted and abused in the military, right? And she exploited that. So much so to the fact that she made it like I had a mental issue that she could profit financially off of me because of what happened to me sexually. Now, in my records on the military, do you think it's going to say, oh, she was sexually assaulted and raped in the military? That's not what that says. It can't say that. It can't say that. It can't say that. Those documents cannot read that. Those documents don't say that. What I went through is not documented. But what is documented is, of course, the mental health. Because there's a mental health portion that they say, well, this is what's wrong with her. Let's give her a whole bunch of few pills and document it. When we're going through these sexual things, you must be very mindful and careful with whom you open that door to share. And I would really caution, even with therapists, be careful what you open the door and want to share. Take your time. Sometimes it's not really a good idea to share everything sexually with a therapist. Not like they're not there to help, but sometimes, because these are people too, these are flawed individuals, sometimes they can exploit that as well. So, as a believer, please use discernment and wisdom. If you need to confess everything, go to Jesus. Go to Him first. Express with Him first. Journal it out first. Write it out first. Do all that you need to do in the privacy with the Lord Jesus Christ alone in confession and obedience, and let Him know everything. And perhaps afterwards, whatever you have left that you want to share to a therapist, then share the leftover. But with everything, you need to go to God. We need to be going to Jesus to confess. That's sometimes our problems, brothers and sisters, is we go to other people before we even talk to Jesus. Oh, you talk to God first. You ever say, let me call Jesus, He's on the main line, and tell Him what I want, Lord. I'm telling you on the main line, Lord God, I need your help to work out this sexual stronghold, this sexual impropriety, these sexual proclivities that I have towards the same sex or whatever it is. We need to go to Him first. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Did I say it's going to be easy? Nah, I didn't say that. And I doubt it will be. Especially if you've been dealing with a history of this as I have. My history has been a mixed bag of all kinds of stuff. There's been abuse in it. There's been pleasure in it. There's been anger in it. There's been shame in it. It's a mixed bag, right? And sometimes you got to understand it is the journey to get through what you're going through. And it's a process. You're not going to get through this overnight. And I don't expect that these things are going to resolve over a nighttime. I don't. But what I am going to do is I'm going to put my struggles and my things out there, because sometimes when we don't talk about things, you don't know who struggled with the same thing. And see, we're supposed to be helping our believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are children of God, of the Most High, to go through what we need to go through so that we can understand and say, hey, if she or he dealt with that, man, I'm going through the same thing. But it cannot happen if we're silent and we're mute and we say nothing. So, on this journey, I know I'm going to cry. You guys, that's just a given. So get ready for your Kleenexes and things. If you're going to cry, just know this is going to be a long journey for me. I put that I started, and I wrote in my journal, I started this journey May 29th, 2023, and I'm going to see where I end up on my birthday, September 7th, 2023, and see if maybe from that point I can continue on. So, This has been a struggle. I presented it to my friend, let him know I was on my journey. And I didn't tell him when I started, but yeah, it's going. I'm doing this, and I'm doing this because I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord, and I believe that this is going to bring me closer to Him, because I need to draw near to the Lord and hold fast to His word, because His word is life. It's life-giving, it's life-breathing, it's refreshing, it's renewing, it's revealing, it's soothing. It's everything we need. But if you don't open your word and really talk to the Lord Jesus about some real things going on in your life, then you're going to try and do this on your own, and you can't. So this is how we're going to do it. So this is the first episode into the sexual purge and purification journey. I hope you will enjoy with me. I don't know how many episodes it's going to be, but it's going to be long. So, you know, some of my chronicles, like my moving chronicles and things, they've been long, but this particular one, it's going to be a long one. It's going to be a doozy. So we're going to go through it. So I'm hoping that, if you find yourself wanting to ask questions, man, ask a question. Send me an email at ggthw18@gmail.com. If you want to be part of a group that wants to talk about it, and you want to talk about your own personal struggles, or you'd like to be on the show and share, man, we can hook up wisdom and have a little bit of this. And this will be only you sharing your story. No questions for anybody to ask, except if they ask in the chat. But if you want to do that, I can do that for you. So looking forward to doing some interviews again. So looking forward to doing some music interviews from independent artists again. So right now we're going to be working on this. This is going to be my new project, my labor of love. I will be, of course, deep diving in a lot of scripture, and I will be doing a lot of things with this. So this won't be a live. This will just be for those who are involved in this podcasting community, that you've known me for a while. You guys know when these come out, this is just going to be straight audio right now for this. And then we might go back to doing some lives later. But right now, this time is really just to focus on the Lord. So with that, I'm going to get out of here. And there'll be more of these. So I don't know if I'll, sometimes I might put out two, might put out three. I don't know. But right now, any day I do it, I'm just going to put it out. So God bless your hearts. Remember to be blessed, motivated, and always inspired to do what the Lord lays on your heart. And listen, if you're going through the sexual purge and purification journey with me, listen, we're going to get to the other side. And the Lord Jesus, man, I have faith, and I trust the Lord that I'll be better when I come out on the other side of this. And I'm just praying to be obedient. And one of the things to be obedient is to share this, because I need to help other brothers and sisters out there. And that's what it's going to be. So I also, if you haven't found out, there is a Voyage Phoenix magazine article, Life, Work, and I think it's Life and Work with Tanika Drake. So check that out. And I will put it in the show notes, and you guys can check out that article as well. And that was just released on the 31st of May. So we are not in the 31st. It is June now. But I am looking forward to this. And it is Saturday today. So looking forward to this. And I can't wait to see what the Lord does in this chapter of my life right now. And I'm also working on writing my book. You guys, I got back into continuing to write my book, and I'm hoping that by my birthday I will have the manuscript finished and ready to go. There's a new publisher that wants to publish the second book for me, and I'm still looking for an audio book publisher to put the first book, The Gift of Finding God's Love, Guilt and Shame, Turn Into My Shine, into an audio version so that people can listen to it. So your girl is still yet pushing. Eventually, I will be on stages. That's what I believe. That's what I know that the Lord is working on. And I'm working on some other things. And my voice, praise God, it's almost all the way back. It's still got a little bit of a leftover whatever that was bothering my voice. But man, I am thankful to the Lord. He has been healing my voice. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm not 100% with my voice yet. Still got that 95, but that I'm sure that 5% will come back. And I'm looking forward to being full out already prepared with my voice. So thank you guys for tuning in. You guys remember to be blessed, motivated, always inspired to do what the Lord lays on your heart. You guys have a blessed one. Take care. And listen, email me if you are interested in having an interview, independent artist, or you want to be part of this particular journey and you have your story to share. God bless, and reach out, and you guys take care. God bless you.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I speak Jesus. I speak Jesus.
Thank you for your listenership. We appreciate all your support over the years. Continue to support the God's gift through His Word all year long in 2023. Be blessed and share this podcast with anyone you know for encouragement and inspiration.